Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you join us today, and I have a phenomenal guest with me today. So thank you so much, Katie Dykstra, for visiting me today and being a part of the podcast.
So excited to be here.
Thank you. So do us all a favor, introduce yourself to everyone. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Awesome. All right. Hi, everybody. I am Katie Dykstra. I've been in HR for 17 years. And at the beginning of January of 2023, I decided to start my own HR consulting business called Katie Workforce, where we do general consulting, but I focus on leadership development and coaching. So I do executive coaching. The reason why I went down this path is I felt like it's been a dream of mine to do. And I had an opportunity that just knocked at the door and I decided to take the risk. I am involved with a couple of different nonprofits. I am the president of NHRC, which is a SHRM chapter. I'm a board member of Bridge My Return, which helps veterans get back into the workforce. And in the meantime, I also teach at Valpo University in Indiana, an HR master's course. And when I'm not doing all of those things that I just mentioned, I take care of two little kiddos that are 9 and 11. And I recently got married to a wonderful spouse named Jim. And so we like to travel and explore when we are not working.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. All the things. I love
all these things.
It's so fantastic. And I love that You have to tell me more about this, about how this opportunity came knocking at your door, because I feel like so many people say that there may have been an opportunity or there was this missed opportunity and they're reflecting back. And I just want people to hear your side of it, because like, was it like a smack in the face that you're like, oh yeah, like this is, or was it kind of like a subtle, like it kept kind of coming up and you just happened to start noticing it and then took the action?
That is a great question. And actually, what's happened in my life is I've always been a really high performer. And I felt like every time you're a high performer in corporate America, you get a thank you by getting more work, more responsibility, more people. And in October of 2022, my fiance, now husband at the time, had to put his dad in at-home hospice. We were also dealing with his mom just getting worse with dementia, where she's not recognizing people or remembering the last 15, 20 years. And my work was going through layoffs. They were laying off a large amount of people in our division. And I missed the layoff of saying, pick me, like, give me the package, I'll take it. And once I got that news, I just knew I couldn't be present for my family. And I've always picked work over my family. And I think when you mentioned, is there a pattern? Well, there was a pattern of a light bulb going off for me. Do you want to keep moving in insanity and keep being burned out? Or do you actually want to show up for the people that really need you at this time of what's going on? And so I went to Jim. I said, I know this is really crazy, but I think I should quit my job. No package given, just give a notice. I don't think they're going to work with me needing time off to help you and get your household in order. And
yeah.
I think it's time for me to do my own thing. I think I can use the flexibility, the network that I've built to try to do something on my own. I don't know if it'll work. And his response was the best because I wasn't raised in a household that would say this. They would say like, you know, congratulations, you're doing amazing. But they never would say like Simon Sinek says, like, hey, if you do it and you fail, it's still okay. And that's exactly what Jim said. Jim's like, if you do it and you fail, we'll figure it out. And so that kind of was the spark for me of I've got support. I'm going to do this. And so I gave a 3-week notice. My last day was November 9th. And then I took November and December to really build my website, start reaching out to people. And then January, I hit the ground running of starting my own business. And each month it's gotten better and better. And I've started to really grow my brand. And I couldn't be happier with the decision, even though it seemed really, really scary, like fear, like no other, anxiety.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what tomorrow looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to stay in something where you at least know the outcome, right? Even if it's an outcome you don't like, it's so much easier to be like, okay, but at least I know I have that safety net. And I think that that's the biggest thing for those that jump into the entrepreneurial space is you have to know that, especially if you jump in at full force and quit your job, that there isn't a safety net, right? I mean, if you have a spouse that is able to provide, then that may help a little bit. And I've seen some that are like, oh, I still work a part-time job and I'm building my business, which is great as well. But yeah, I feel you for that one 100% because even when I lost my job, when I was fired from my medical job, and I had already planned on like, okay, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to get into real estate. I'm going to enjoy doing this. And then that's going to lead to this. And he screwed up my whole plan by firing me, but it was the best thing ever. Right. Because
exactly.
it was a moral thing. I knew it wasn't right. I got fired honestly for the wrong reason on his part, but for the right reason for me, because it let me know that I was starting to create my own boundaries, which is something I had a really hard time with in corporate America. And I feel like a lot of people do, right? Especially for us that are high achievers, because we're constantly looking for the next thing. We're wanting people to be like, oh my God, that's amazing. Oh, you did so great at this. Here's something else. And we get so bored that we're like, okay, I'll take the new challenge. And it's just like this endless cycle. So I love that you brought it back to realizing that it's either I choose insanity or I can choose to do something that I'm actually going to be able to enjoy. That gives me the breathing space for my family.
Yeah. And it's been amazing. One of the things that I was really worried about is in corporate America, you know, how you build goals and all this stuff. And I was like, man, that's just not going to work being an entrepreneur. So I ended up doing a vision board and I keep it at my desk. And I was just talking to Jim about this because I was like, I love the whole family just to participate in vision boards for 2024, because I feel like it helps you manifest and it helps you get you on track, but not feeling like this is the goal and this is what you have to get to. It's just a friendly reminder of this is what's important. These are your values. This is where you want to go. And so I felt like it kept me on track when I had those down points or I had self-doubt or that imposter syndrome come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been talking to other people lately. It's just come up recently. So I'm excited to do that with the family.
Oh, I love that. I love vision boards. And it's so funny because I did my first one like 3 years ago and I was like, this is weird. This makes no sense. And then once you like, if you really think about it, you're using it for the future feeling and the emotion that's attached to it, right? Versus the hard goal that is attached to the outcome, which for a lot of us can be so daunting, because then if you're not getting to it, even if you broke the goal down like week by week, day by day, then you just start overanalyzing and then you start having the anxiety because you're like, well, it's not working the way it's supposed to. So data-driven stuff, in my opinion, right, can be absolutely amazing. I think conversion rates
absolutely.
And looking at that stuff is great. Mm-hmm. And if you know that doing that all the time is going to panic you and shut you down, try something that you can attach an emotion to so that it's a little bit of a lighter feeling. And it's so much easier, like you said, when you keep your vision board where you can see it, that you can like reflect back to it and be like,
this is the direction I'm going. This is what I want to feel. And it's a lot easier. I feel like, at least for me, it was to find the small moments that I'm like, oh, we're kind of already getting there. This is kind of already doing this, right?
Exactly.
Versus when you're looking at this huge goal that, you know, could be 6 months to a year out, you're so focused on that big goal that you miss all of the small pieces that are building you up to get to that goal.
And I love that you're bringing that up too, because I think you can do a vision board anytime. You don't need to do it at the beginning of 2024. Right. You can do it in the middle of summer. And I just feel like it's a great way to get yourself in the right mindset for like growth, development. And again, I feel like what happened to me is that my values have changed, and I'm making sure now the work that I'm taking on matches my values, my purpose. And I feel like I didn't always do that. I was so focused on being the best leader, the best individual contributor, that it would be a sacrifice on my end of what I was doing. And it has a ripple effect with everybody that's in your circle.
Ooh, that is such a good reminder, because I, now that you say that, I think about that, like, yeah, I can't think of how many times when I was in the medical field that I let my values down because I was like, yeah, but I have to do this, but I have to strive for this, but people are going to look at me to this. And it's so easy to put the important things on the back burner, or like I used to do, I try to shove it all in the weekend because that was the time that I had with my kids, and like make up for all the time that I didn't have with them during the week.
Exactly. And how exhausted are you after going straight for 7 days and then getting back into the week and doing it all over again?
Yeah, it's extremely exhausting. And I think about that, and I did that for years. And it's so funny because I did a post a few months back about this, about how I knew what it was like to be a single mom, to have my kids, to work a 40, 50 hour week job, to do all these things. And I look at it now, and my husband's job that he has requires him to travel some. And so there's quite a few times during the month that he's gone, like Monday to Friday. And so during that time, I'm responsible for everything. Now, I'm blessed because I have teenagers, so I can ask for help, and they're usually really great at helping. And you still have to take them places because the one's not driving and the one had surgery and I've got to do this. And so I did a post on about like how much I appreciate my husband. Then I think that a lot of people miss that. But because I was in that state a long time ago where I knew what it felt like to do everything on my own, and then having the blessing that I have now of someone that is constantly there for me, that I can ask for help, that when he is gone, I notice it. Like, it really is something that I pay attention to. And I did an appreciation post about like how blessed I am, because you don't realize it until you're in that situation. And it's so easy, especially when you have partners or even in your business, right? You have people that are constantly there for you, and we almost take advantage of that, or we expect it after a certain amount of time. And it was really a big moment for me to be like, I so appreciate all of the things that you do. Like, he will go and pick my kid up if I've got meetings running and he knows he can. Like, it is such a beautiful relationship. And it reminded me, like, how in the hell did I do all that crap on my own? I'm tired doing it now.
Okay. There's a couple pieces that I love that I just want to touch on that you just mentioned with your husband. What's your husband's name?
Chris.
Okay. So there is a study that says that people that are in relationships, it's by John Gottman. If you've ever read anything with John Gottman, he is like the guru of relationships. And he pretty much can tell within a 10-minute period if you are going to stay together as a couple or if you're going to get divorced. And his rate is really high. I want to say it's somewhere in the 80s or 90%. And what he found is it's based on communication and how they view each other and how they handle conflict. But he also talks about the 5-to-1 ratio. And the 5-to-1 ratio really means that you give 5 compliments for every 1 criticism. And what they found is with humans and how we're wired with our brain is that in order for me to actually hear that 1 criticism from my partner, I've got to know that my partner thinks that I am incredible with these 5 things at least. And what they did is they took that study and they checked it if it would work in the workplace with leaders. And they found that it was the same exact thing.
Makes sense.
The whole point is if you keep criticizing your partner, because we're wired as humans to think very negative, right? It takes a lot of work to see positive and be grateful, realize the joy that you have in your life. And so it's a mind shift to think about it, that do I praise my kids, my partner, people that I work with the amazing things that they are doing. And it could be the smallest thing that has huge impact, that when I really do have to talk to them about something that didn't go right or something that's bothering me, I know they're going to be more open to it because I took the time to let them know that I do think they're amazing. And I do think they're appreciated in this household, in this business, whatever it may be. And yeah. So that's something I would highly recommend. And it sounds like you're already doing it, but it's 5-1.
I love that. And that makes so much sense too. And you are so right, because I remember being in the workforce and doing things and getting like that real quick, like, oh, you did great. Okay. And now the problem is, and I'm like, really, I feel like we just like overshot everything that I just spent forever doing. And now we're on to the next problem kind of a thing. But you are so right. I think that that can be such a transitional piece back and forth. And you know, what's so funny is, so many people that I've talked with on this podcast lately, there are so many things that you can attest to in the corporate space, in your entrepreneurial space, and in your personal space. And when you really look at it, if you are paying attention to it, you really can use the same things across the board. It's not business is here, home life is here. Like, it really doesn't play out that way if you look at it. And I have to say that the more that I've had these kinds of conversations and realize how much integration there is between business and personal, and how it can ebb and flow back and forth, and the same things you would use in your business, you can use at home. It has made a dramatic difference, not only in my life with my partner, but with my teenagers as well, right? Because they're trying to figure out how to communicate and everything else, and they're going through their own stuff. And it's been interesting to see how easy it is, especially like you were saying, talking about communication, and we're going to slide into leadership, what you teach on. And that plays such a huge role, not only in your business, but in your personal life too. And are you taking that leadership stance, and are you using those leadership skills with your partner, with your children, with your inner circle, and really applying that in all areas of your life? Which, to be honest, if you can learn how to do that, I feel like it becomes such a natural, authentic flow that you don't have to be like, okay, put the mom face on now, put the wife face on now. Okay, go put the corporate face on now. You can just be one person.
I love that. So when I teach my leadership courses, or I'm talking to executives, some of the things that I say is what we learn here, we can apply at home, like coaching questions, getting your kids to open up. I don't know if you always ask the same question, like, how was your day? Of course, they're going to respond with good.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But like, what was something that you were surprised that happened today? Or what was something that you learned today that you want to tell me that I can learn? And it's amazing if you start asking those what and how questions at home, mm-hmm. how you can take that and use that with other people. I recently went to a networking event for my SHRM chapter that I was just telling you about. And our speaker ended up saying, instead of saying, what do you do? Ask them, why do you do what you do? Like, what's the why? And it's amazing how I've switched and used that question, that people's like eyes light up, that I'm actually asking what their purpose is, and they're excited to talk about it. And so I totally agree. And I say it to my kids, I'm teaching you skills that you will be able to use for the rest of your life. You might not understand it now, but I'm telling you, it will come together when you become a young adult. Because I'm trying to teach them even about emotional intelligence. I think the best leaders, I think the best relationships that you're in, there is a high emotional intelligence, meaning that I listen, not to respond, but listen to take in what you're saying. I'm curious to learn more about you. And I'm reading the room to know how I can react with my facial expressions, how I can ask the next question that's to get deeper of what you're talking about. So when we talk about emotional intelligence, it's your relationship with yourself and your relationship with others. And that flexes throughout your life depending on what's going on. So like when I was going through my divorce and we found out my dad had cancer, I did an emotional intelligence assessment. It was the lowest it could ever be because my life was in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like I think I took it 6 months ago, maybe 9 months ago, and I'm in the highest I've ever been, but I think I'm in the happiest place I've ever been in my life when it comes to personal and professional. And I've learned to blend it versus balance it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love that word blend. Earlier this year, that was a big thing for me, was getting away from the word balance. I not a fan of that word, like, because I feel like that is what everybody is taught. And it really isn't, you can't juggle all of these things and try to balance. It just doesn't work. But if you can learn to deal with what you're dealing with here and then kind of flow back into here, if you've got a spurt, right? You're like, oh, I actually feel like I want to do this, then get it done. And then if you need to go back, then you can. Like, and that's how my business has started flowing this year as well, is doing it in those spurts versus the way I was taught in corporate, which was, okay, this is what you do in the morning. This is what I got to have done by the afternoon. And this is where the evening goes. Because for me, and it works for some people, right? It really does. But for me, I know that that's not how I work. And I have always been like that. And it's so funny that we're having this conversation, because I literally had this conversation with my 15-year-old last night. Oh, he's 16 now. He just turned 16 two days ago. He's going to beat me. But we had this conversation because he has been struggling with just getting his work done in school. And it's not that he's not intelligent. He just thinks about doing it, then kind of gets started, then decides to do it later. And so we had this conversation last night about, like, hey, this is what I do in my business, but this is also what mom used to do when she was in high school. And it was, when I got a project, I just knocked it out, because I knew if I put headphones on and put music in, I could knock something out in a matter of a couple of hours versus trying to break it up over a 2-week period whenever it's due and do it that way. Like, my brain didn't work that way. And he was like, you know what? He was like, I kind of started doing that in school the last couple of days. And I was like, and how is it working for you? He's like, I got my stuff done. I'm like, dude, there you go. Like, you found your way of doing it.
I love that. I love that you mentioned music. The one piece that I think I really struggled with, and I didn't realize it until I got to the other side of being that entrepreneur, is the creative piece. I so miss doing creative stuff, and I've been able to do that for clients in the last year. And it's been amazing, of filling my soul. And what I do is very similar to you. I'll blast some good music. I'll jam out, and it might be late nights, but that's me choosing to do late nights because that's when I get that creative spark or that idea.
Yes.
But for you to talk about music and how it influences you and you can get stuff done, I completely agree with that. And the spark that it gives you to just be motivated.
It does. And it's so funny too, because, you know, I feel like recently there have been so many people that have been talking about ADHD. I feel like that's been like the topic of discussion. And when I really thought about it, I was like, I kind of wonder if maybe that was something that I had as a kid. It was just never recognized. My parents thought it was funny because I had the ability to do homework, have headphones on, and watch the TV, and I could tell you everything from all three pieces. It was just how I worked. Nobody told me that I had ADHD. Nobody stuck a label on me. Nobody said, this is what you should be doing to help it. That was my natural flow, and it just became part of my process. And I have loved that so much that I refuse to go and see if I had diagnosed, because I'm like, I know how I work. I know how I flow. I know. And I just had this conversation with a lady yesterday who was talking about how, like, she has a really hard time in quiet spaces working. And I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what I've been doing. I said, which is really, really cool. I said, I found some music on YouTube. I said, and it's this really neat, like, flow with no words. I said, because I get distracted and I sing. I said, but it's no words, but it's this really beautiful, like, balance, and the music will go like high and then low. And then sometimes, like, it'll switch ears. I said, but what I've done is, when I know I need to, like, hyper-focus, I will put that in, but put the music on low, so that part of my brain has to try to focus on hearing it. And the other part is, like, narrowed in. And that has worked for me tremendously. And so that's something that I've been sharing with people, because I am really big on not being stuck with a label. I was labeled when I came out of my abusive relationship as someone that had PTSD. I had anxiety, and I was told that I was brainwashed. And I was like, I'll be darned. And it took me a really long time to work through that, to deal with all of that. But I refused to have this label put on me and just be like, okay, well, this is my life now. And I get it, right? Like, some people have a lot of trauma. They have a lot of things that they have dealt with. And I understand that. And for me, it was a part of me to know that I could do something different and see if I had the ability to change the way that my mind functioned. it was a challenge, and my life has always been that way. I enjoy challenges. And so I look at it that way when I'm dealing with my clients as well. Like, how can we challenge yourself? But like, let's make it fun. Let's see what you are capable of.
I love that. You reminded me of, there is a gentleman that I follow on LinkedIn called Bill Dwyer. He's the CEO of Helping Hands. It's a nonprofit that works with people that have disabilities or might be on the spectrum, whatever it may be. But he recently talked about how he was diagnosed with being dyslexic. And he talked about how being dyslexic and being in a high leadership role has really given him a different lens and how it's actually been a positive in his life. And we don't hear very many people, one, that's in leadership like that, being outspoken, saying, this is what I have. I'm really proud of it. And it's really helped me. And I love when you're talking about your history. Again, it's a label that you're not saying that you agree with, but you're open about it. And you're saying, actually, it's helped me be better with handling challenges. It's been helped me with this skill. And I think that's the piece that really has changed since COVID's happened, is people are more authentic and more willing to describe things that have happened in their life. Like, it took me a while to talk about me being divorced when it first happened, or going through a divorce, or having a dad that had cancer. It felt like a really big scarlet letter, because everybody in my circle is married. They're not going through the stuff I'm going through. They don't have a sick parent. So I really struggled to find people that could relate to what I was going through, because this was all new to me. Mm-hmm. And again, like, the moment that I started talking about it, it was amazing how the resources started to appear. And so I've taken a different approach about 7 years ago to be like, hey, I am divorced. I do have a parent that has been ill, and we've had to navigate that. And I had two little ones being a single parent at 1 and 3. It was rough.
Yeah.
It's okay for other people to acknowledge that, yeah, they're in a low point in life. The cool part is you can't go any lower. You can only go up.
So true. And I love that spin on it too, right? And I think that that's something that, you know, as we start 2024, that I want people to understand and hear on repeat, that like, you can still choose how you handle your situation. Yes, you may not be in control of being able to change it and say like, I don't want to deal with this anymore, like in your situation with having a sick family member. But you can choose how you handle it. You can choose how you respond to it. And that makes all the difference. And yes, I totally get that. Like, sometimes you're just in a moment where you can't choose, and like, you just want to break down. And I'm all for that as well. Absolutely. I had that moment 2 weeks ago in my shower. I literally just sat at the bottom of the shower, and my husband's like, are you okay? I was like, just leave me alone. I am fine. I am digressing.
And here's the deal. Like, I'm not saying that you always have to be happy-go-lucky by any means. Like, all of us are on a journey, and there's been lows to those journeys. Mm-hmm. But I also think some of those lows open up other doors of opportunity, and we have to get through that difficult part to get to that other side to see how wonderful it is. So recently married, right? I'm a couple weeks married. We planned a wedding in 40 days. Yes. And I'll give you a little bit more detail, but the whole point is, like, I was like, it's going to take us like 18 months to a year to plan a wedding. And Jim's like, we don't got that. So what happened is Jim's dad ended up passing away in September. And I kept telling Jim, I said, we should just get married in front of the medical bed in the living room, if that's what we have to do, so your dad can see it happen. No. I go, we can do something else later. But Jim's like, no, it's okay. Not a big deal. His dad passes, and you can tell that, like, he had regret that we should have done something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got news that Jim's brother-in-law, so Jim's sister's husband, he's been battling cancer of the brain for the last 2 years. And they pretty much said, hey, sometime in October, we're not going to keep doing treatment. This is the end.
Oh, wow.
You know, he made it to this point. And so Jim just said, you know what? Is there any way if we can just do something really small? Bring my mom, that's not even, you know, really remembering who I am anymore, my brother-in-law, and can we maybe just do a handful of friends? And I was like, Jim, I don't know if we can pull this off, but I will try my hardest. So we found a restaurant that was about 15 minutes away from his sister. We were able to get his mom there and his brother-in-law. And we had 63 people show up. We had it at a nice restaurant. We did a micro wedding.
Aww.
It was amazing how all of it just came together. And the funny thing is, I'm talking about this, and there's a cardinal sitting right outside my window. And again, if you guys don't know, cardinals is a sign that someone from above is thinking of you and looking at you and just letting you know they're okay. So again, as we're talking about people that have passed, I think of Jim's dad, but we pulled it off. I don't know how we did it. We did bowling afterwards and people had a blast. And
that's so awesome.
It was amazing. Now, my husband is a big social person. He probably wanted 1,000 people at that wedding. So it was really hard for him to do this. But I think the most important people that we wanted there to show up did. And yeah. People dropped everything. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy that we did it.
That's holy cow, 40 days. Yeah, that's, and you know, that I feel like that comes back to what we kind of talked about in the beginning, is just understanding where you're at, understanding how you want to handle something, and then figuring it out from there. And that comes from communication. It comes from that leadership perspective. It comes from like letting go of the ego and saying, okay, how are we going to come together? And I love that you guys were able to pull this off, and it just like, it became exactly what it was supposed to, because I feel like that's what happens in life when you assess it that direction as well.
Yeah. It's amazing. The moment that I give up control of being type A, because I am type A, is the moment that everything seems to fall in place. The fear goes away. The sense of the anxiety goes away. Now, was it crazy that I traveled during those 3 weeks of the 40 days? Absolutely. And did I stress out a little bit about stuff? Absolutely. But the support system that I had to help pull this off, and people taking on different tasks versus, you know, Jim and I taking on everything ourselves, is amazing. And I think we tend, people that are type A, to struggle to ask for help. And it's amazing the moment that I do say, like, I need some guidance, I need some help, that the people that are really important in your life will show up when you need them.
Yes.
And it's okay to lean on people.
It is. And I will 100% stand behind you as a type A personality who has always had control and handled everything because I didn't trust anybody else to handle it for me. Like, because then I'd have to fix it. Like, versus just letting it flow. I agree with you 1,000% on that one. And I feel like while I'm more in the flow of allowing that, there are still times where I'm like, what if I could just.
I mean, that's normal. What's really crazy is in my industry, I'm seeing tons of HR people losing their jobs right now with the economy. And they want to get out and they want to do something different. And I keep telling them, like, let fear go, like, update your resume. You have transferable skills. So like anybody that's listening to this, if you are miserable in your job, there is another job, another industry that you can get into that you'll be amazing at. Will there be a learning curve? Absolutely. But I much rather hire someone that has an attitude that's willing to learn and grow versus someone that's a subject matter expert, but is an asshole. And so like, my whole point is like, we have to stop thinking the way society tells us to think about what happy is, what success is, what joy is, and your purpose and values might look different than mine. And that's totally cool. If your dream is to do X and my dream is to do something else. But I feel like we let people's judgments or opinions really take control of our lives versus really getting down to the deep thing of that you want to do. And again, like, I started doing my deep dream when I was 38 and starting to do things for me. So like, you're never too old to start taking some risks, start doing something different and seeing what that outcome is versus living Groundhog's Day and being miserable with what you're doing every day.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that so much. And I feel like that is so hard for people to pay attention to. And I'm guessing that this is a conversation that it sounds like you have a lot with the teaching and the clients that you're working with as well, of helping them understand what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, background on me, I'm a law enforcement major. I thought I wanted to work for the FBI or for a police department. And I was a leader in HR. So like, how did I make a transition of a background in law enforcement to where I'm at today? And again, it's thinking about those skill sets that you guys have that are transferable. So when we think about police officers, they're really good at reporting, taking notes, and they're really good with taking information in and building relationships to get information. So can't that skill be used in other ways that they could work in, let's say, claims in the insurance industry and taking in stuff? Couldn't that police officer work in another industry with some of that skill set that they have? I'll talk about COVID and what happened. No one wanted to work in hospitality when COVID happened. No one wanted to leave their house, go to work, and come home and possibly bring something into their household that would cause their family to be sick. Okay. So what people started doing in my industry is we got creative. We started seeing like people that work in hospitality are great with customer service. They'd be great in sales. So we started actually going after people that were in hospitality that didn't want to do the crazy hours, the nights, the weekends, and getting them into corporate America doing entry-level sales. They have all the skill set. It's transferable. The same thing with teachers. Teachers can go into a lot of different jobs. We're seeing turnover in that industry still really high. And we're what, 3 years, 4 years into now of when COVID took place.
Yeah.
So again, like I just like throwing that out because people always think that they're stuck because this is all I've known for the last 15 years, 20 years. But here's the deal. Your skill set's so important and you can always learn another industry and take that risk. What's the worst that happens? You get the job and you hate it. You can quit and you can go somewhere else. I know I'm saying be risky, but like, do you want to keep living a not fulfilling life because you dislike what you do every day? And let's be honest, we work more than we are at home. So why not do something you might enjoy?
Yeah, definitely. Now I have one question for you that I have a feeling is something that a lot of people would ask when you say this statement, which is your skills are transferable. For somebody that let's say has been in the industry for 8, 10, 12 plus years, how would they define their skills? Because I feel like some people get stuck in, I do it all the time. It's just what I do, but don't understand how to break that skill down so that they can say, oh, okay, this skill could apply to that. So how would somebody go about figuring that out?
Yeah. I always ask people like, what's your strengths? What's your weaknesses? Again, so a strength might be they're very analytical. They can take data and they can storytell it with it like no other. There is tons of jobs that you can storytell with data in a different industry or in a different role. I always like to talk about soft skills. I call them universal skills because when you think about your leaders that are really good at what they do, which is growing and developing people and having them be the subject matter experts versus the leader, the subject matter experts have skill sets of building relationships too, right? Good communication, can handle change management. All those are universal skills that are needed in many roles out there. I also say like start playing with AI because AI will have an influence in every industry. And again, I'm not saying it's replacing us, but I'm going to say it's going to create new jobs. It also can save you some time too, depending on what you're doing. So it's okay to explore and be curious. Again, I think the reason why I do well being a consultant is because I used to be an employee relations investigator, which means I used to investigate hostile work environments, sexual harassment, all the nasty things that people don't want to touch. I'd be the person that would come in and investigate that issue. But what it taught me is to be curious and to ask questions and to follow up and to dig deeper. And that's what you do in consulting. I don't know every industry, but if you can tell me what your root of your problem is, I can figure out ways from a human resource standpoint to help support so that your business cannot be broken or not can help it thrive. And so it's amazing when we think about our skill sets that it can be applied in multiple realms. You just have to start asking yourself, what am I good at? What do I enjoy? And you'll start to see a pattern there. And then I think you need to have conversations with people that you look up to. So I've been very blessed that I've had a mentor since I was in my junior year of college. And I've continued to have mentors throughout my life. And I've picked mentors that are strong in something that I am weak in, or I might not know enough in, so I can learn from them. I'm never going to be the expert that they're in, but at least I can learn a little bit more, that I can be a little bit more dangerous. And I can learn from somebody. Like people, humans love giving back. So if there's someone that you admire, if there's someone that you would love to get into the industry that they're in, you can send them a message. If you have their number, text them, call them. If you see them on LinkedIn and you're loving their posts and the things that they're telling you about, send them a message saying, I would love if there's any way we could just have a quick coffee chat. And I would love to learn how you got into this industry. And can I figure out if there's a way maybe I might be interested in this role, this position, the whatever. Nine times out of 10, people will say yes to you because you authentically reached out and said that you admire them. They have a skill that you like. They're in an industry you want to get into. And again, humans love helping humans. And that could be giving time. It could be giving, I think time's the most important thing you can give someone. Yeah. So again, I like talking about that because I think more and more people are realizing that they might not like where they were. They didn't like what they majored in, and somehow they feel stuck. And the thing is, you're not stuck. You just need to pivot.
Oh, I love that so much. Now, as we come to a close, I'm like, I want to ask if you have a quote or piece of advice. I'm like, but I feel like that last like 5 minutes was like a whole caveat of stuff. But as we come to a close, do you happen to have a piece of advice or a quote that you would love to leave the audience with?
Oh man, I'm a quote person. I'm really huge on it. I'm also a really big Disney fan. So I have a cup on my desk. And for those that know The Incredibles, I'm a big fan of Edna Mode. And she has a quote that says, "I never look back, darling, because it distracts me from the now." And I feel like what happens is that we look into our past a lot, and that prevents us from doing a lot of stuff in the present and the future. And if you can just take a moment and not think about your history or your past and really focus at where you're at today, the sky is the limit of what tomorrow would look like. But you've got to let go of it. And the reason why I started liking this quote at the time was my dad having cancer, me going through a divorce, me feeling like a failure because I thought I should be somewhere else at the age that I was at when going through a divorce. And sometimes if I do have that self-doubt creep in, I start to look at that quote and realize, man, the future and what I'm capable of doing is just the sky's the limit. And it's a good feeling versus that yucky feeling of what I experienced 8 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I love Incredibles, and she is one of my favorites. So, Katie, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast. Please do us all a favor and tell everybody, how can they connect with you? How can they find you? How can they be in your world?
Yeah. If you guys are on LinkedIn, you want to know more about career, anything that relates to the HR world, you can find me at Katie Dykstra. So DYKSTRA. You can also follow my business, which is my initials KD and then workforce. As you guys can tell, I like what's going on in the workforce, what's going on in the economy, because I think that influences our workforce. And so I wanted to build a business that really talks about the future workforce and how we can get you where you want to be and help leaders grow people in their organizations. So it's been a pleasure, Kat. I'm so glad we connected. And I can't wait to see what 2024 brings you.
Oh my goodness, you as well. And to everybody out there, don't worry. I'll have all that information in the show notes so you can find her online and you can get to her site and all the things. So Katie, thank you so much again for being a part of the podcast. This has been phenomenal.
That's awesome, Kat. I'm so happy to hear that.
And to everybody else that's out there, I hope you were listening hard, because these are life lessons, not just in the workforce, but also in your personal business, also in the way that you are with your family, your circle, and how you can elevate and how you can pivot in your life, regardless of the things that you are going through, when you attach it with a way of curiosity to figure out different creative solutions, right? Versus what we have been taught with society, which is 1 + 1 = 2. So I hope that you were taking notes. And if not, you should totally listen to this episode again. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat.
Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.